Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, that we know that you're not far away, that you're here with us. We ask you to call your presence and your Holy Spirit may guide us, may enable us, Lord, to hear from you this morning, that we, Lord, may be able to receive, Lord, and appropriate what you want us to have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want to start with this brief summary. We have to understand the time we are in. And when we understand the time we are in, we understand what is important for us to do. It's not just to sit at the meeting and listen and forget what the Lord is trying to tell us, but it's to put it to work, to make it in such a way that it becomes profitable, the word to us. The word make effect, produce results in our life. And to do that, you know, we also need not just to listen, but to put the ideas, the thoughts together so that we can fully understand and draw conclusions, be able to apply those things to ourselves. So I want to just summarize a bit some of the things that in the last three weeks, I've been talking about. Okay, number one, okay, we have to see just what's happening, not just in the time of this moment, but what is God is planning to do, what is God is doing, okay? And, you know, we had to realize of the battle of the war that is between the two kingdoms. And the prophecies that are given for the end times should be not something that is scaring us, but something that guides us, something that helps us to navigate in the time we are in, to give us confidence and strength to know what to do and to be able to not be confused by the chaos that's going to be around us more and more, but to be strong in our position so that we can walk with him, you know. And really, you know, Jesus Christ is the center of the situation that we are in today. He's the center of what we had to depend on. This is what we had to focus on. This is what we, you know, who we have to look at, okay? And, you know, what he has done is the basis for what we need to do. He overcame. He got the greatest victory that has ever been achieved in any battle. Okay? He has now the greatest authority that has acquired as a result of that, as a man, and has imparted that to us, to be able to do the work that he has came for us to do. We have to understand that his expectation is for us to take now the role that he came to give us. He delegated his authority to us so that we may exercise it, so that we may be able to produce the result that he wanted us to. And we have to understand that, and we have to understand, okay, that what is going to be the difference is what's going on inside ourselves, even more than what we do physically. Because what is going to do inside ourselves determines what we are going to do. And if what is going to go on inside ourselves is not the right thing, we are not going to be able to do the things that we are called to do. And even if we do them, they're not going to work. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, your inner position, your relationship with God, your state that you are in spiritually is critical. Okay? So, we had to really a full appreciation of what Jesus has done. so that we come into that place in which we are in Him, in Christ. And all the things that are promised are going to be manifested in our life. And if we are not able to get those things, then it's time that we have to work toward that. Because that's going to be essential in the coming days. This is what God wants to manifest now. Okay. And we have to really understand God's intention, not the way, the focus, the emphasis often is, that is about us and God. It's about God's intention for everybody and in which we come into the picture. That we have to take our part in the plan. We cannot be spectators of what God is doing. We need to become active part of His body. And if we do not understand His intention, we are never going to be able to do that. We are never going to be able to align up ourselves with His plan. And only when we do that, we are going to really experience fully what we need to experience and manifest what we need to manifest. Okay? God's intention is love for all His creation. Okay, is something that we have to appreciate. When it says, everything, there's so many quotes about God's being love, what it means and how that is going to be manifested and what that actually means. Okay, now, He is just as well. And so for that reason, there are consequences. The rules that He made, the principle that He made, involves consequences for doing the wrong things. Okay, but, if we look at what happened in history, something has changed when He came. And something has been established after He came. And He made a period of grace for people in the world. And we are part of that. And that means that, He's not going to act on the negative things that we do until Jesus coming. The enemy will, but God is not, because He cannot punish two people for the same reason. His intention is for us to benefit of all the things that Jesus did for us on the cross. And so that we can not only become recipient of that, but be able to communicate and spread the things to others. He wants us to actually minister to others and not just be receiving. Be part of what God wants established down here. But anything that we receive, anything that anybody receive, it happens by faith. God functioned by faith. God is a faith God. Anything that we get is not by the works we do, it's by the faith we have. Now, our faith was going to result in activity. It's not going to result, I have faith and do nothing. There is no pause. That's not faith, that is just self-deception. We have to understand that. And we have to understand if we have something, if we have faith, our faith is going to make us do things, make us act. And according to where we are, according to the faith we have, we are going to be able to do things. It's not an imposition or a religious idea of things that, each person has at a certain place in his walk by faith. That they're going to be accountable for what they are not doing or doing. Okay. So, your choices. That means, and they are determined by your values, your judgments, and your attitudes. okay, are going to determine the experience that you have. Okay. That's connected to your faith, definitely. But the point is, you know, your faith comes as a result of those things, are your values, your judgment, your attitude. Okay. What we value, what we judge, we are going to act on. And this is why the things that are going to help us. It's going to help us to see ourselves better. See, we sang today, open the eyes of my heart. And really, that's not a very easy thing to do for us. Because our mind works over time to justify ourselves. It tends to do that. And we have to understand that we have to deal with that functioning that is there, that is producing all the problem, that is our ego. That has to be crucified. This is the suffering that we had to go through, lining up with his suffering. He gave up his life for us. We had to give up our life for him. And that's the only way to do it. Because he said, you know, if you hold on to your life, you will lose it. And he's not just that was talking about theory. He was really talking about the experience that we will have, both physically and spiritually. Now, okay, God's book, the Bible, is full with promises. And, you know, there are promises that, you know, actually all the law was all full of promises. You know, for example, even at the beginning, talking about the blessings and the curses. Okay? And so, you know, in a way, these are already promises, both of them. It's not that God has to intervene. It's not just that they happen because that's the way the spiritual world functions. Now, sometimes God intervenes, praise the Lord, but, you know, generally happens always by faith because something or somewhere God there functioning that way. You know, but in the Old Testament, the condition was to love the law of your God and to obedience to his law. That was enough because they didn't understand, they didn't have a relationship with him. In the New Testament, we are in a period of grace until Jesus coming. Okay, no wrath is going to come and say the second coming. The problem are going to be there because the enemy is spreading the problem because he hates us. He hates any work of creation. He wants to destroy everything because he's destroyed himself. Okay? But he has not a chance. Okay? And we have to understand that we have to start looking at God and not looking at the situations that we see in the world around us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes or no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who we have preached among you, by me, Silvanus, Timothy, was not yes and no, but was in him yes only. For the promises of God, in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Everybody quote that scripture. The thing is, the reason why God is faithful is because, you know, he keeps his promises, keeps his word. But we have to understand that when keeps his word, we have to understand the word properly because there are conditions for him to, for us to be able to receive what he says. And the reason or the condition here in this case is the fact that we are in him. If we are in him, we are not in the condition to receive. And we have to understand what being in him is, and we have to be in that place. Our position has to be in him, not just in religion, not just going to church, not just calling ourselves Christians, not just quoting scriptures. But it's the position, internal position that we have that makes all the difference. Okay. And that continues here, verse 21. I mean, people don't often, when they quote verse 20, they don't quote the verse 21, but where verse 21 is critical to be able to apply the scriptures. And says, "For now he who has established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." You see, he's talking about people that have been established in Christ. Established, really the word there, you know, could be rendered, the Greek word there could be rendered, to understand it better, you know, rendered constant and unwavering. Now that corresponds to other scripture in the Bible. But just, you know, when we are established in him, we are not going to be wavering because of the circumstances or the situation we are in, or because what is saying or what is happening in the physical. We are going to be strong and firm in the position. And when we are in that firm position, you know, nobody can move us, and there is no way, you know, us to happen. And actually, it's going to happen easily once we are there. There is no effort. The effort is in getting that established position that is not just for the things we want, it's for everything. Are you following me? That's important to understand. You see, everything, all the promises are according to the position we have in Christ. And God judges us according to our position. We cannot see ourselves because we really don't know our own heart most of the time. Almost always. Because we end up going around circle and justifying ourselves. But God knows every hair in your head. God knows everything that's happening. He knows every thought you have. No one else has that. Demons don't have every thought you have. They look at your actions. Okay? But God knows every thought you have that you expressed or not. And he knows your position. And he judges you according to the position of your heart. Because God sees the heart, not the appearances, not the physical things that you do. You can do all the religious activities that are required to do good works, and they count for nothing because those are nothing else than that work that you do to get your points with God. When instead the good things that you do because of the power of God inside you that motivates you, and after you've done it, you know it's not even you doing them. You cannot go around boasting about anything about yourself. Now, being established is important to understand that point. And if you understand that, then you know why you sometimes you get the answer from God and some other time you don't. Now, and it's according to his justice. If God is fair, God is faithful, then you always get what you deserve. If you see that happening according to your thinking or not. So when you don't get what you think you should be getting, you better start thinking about your relationship with God, not other things. And that may actually make all the process different. It's not anymore going through a formula, it's going through a relationship that has to be deepened, and you have to get to the place in which you can see things that otherwise you didn't see before. Because open the eyes of my heart. You know, that's what we need to ask to have. So, the example of that taking place is in the children of Israel when they were in the desert. Okay? We can see the importance of coming to the place in which we can receive. And they could not receive because their heart was not in the right place. You know, nothing is changed from the way the things operate with God in the New and Old Testament. It's just the way he deals with us that he is more patient than he was for them. And he's more helpful, and he has provided things and provided us ability that otherwise they didn't have. They didn't have the Holy Spirit working on them. It was working on Moses, but even Moses didn't have everything himself. We have more. If we know God, if you have been born again, you have more than any of the prophets of the Old Testament. That's what Jesus said. When we understand that, then, you know, all the excuses that we can make up are not valid. And instead, we have to look at ourselves as, you know, why this doesn't work. Instead of say it doesn't work, says I'm not working it properly or something I'm doing that I had to change. God, show me, open the eyes of my heart. Now, somebody can say, oh, you know, you put the responsibility on me. Absolutely. He's the only one that has to do something because God has done everything that he could do before. He has done more than ever has been done before and is made available to us so that we may benefit from what he has done. But we have to respond to that. So let's read a moment from Hebrews chapter 3 because it presents this situation in detail and should help us to understand that there are decisions that we had to make instead of finding excuses or trying to find formulas. Okay. Now, this is also in Psalm 95, verse 7 to 11, but, you know, Hebrews chapter 3 expands on that idea. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, I mean, God expects us. You know, says, well, you know, I don't know when God speaks to me. Sorry. We start with the wrong idea. Right there. God speaks to you because God expects you to hear his voice. Hello. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense that God expects somebody that is not even born again to hear his voice talking about the children of Israel. When we are born again, we have the Holy Spirit inside communicating with us, and you say, you know, I don't know when God speaks to me. Well, you need unplugging your ears. And I'm talking about spiritual ear, not physical one. Removing the stuff, the wax that is inside there, blocking it. Okay? Now, says, do not harden, says, you know, let me go back. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. He says, no, I don't want to hear it. In the day of trial in the wilderness. See, that's what happened in the Old Testament. Okay? They should have heard God. And if they didn't hear God, even when, you know, they had all the direction, you know, that from Moses and all the other, the things that they saw God working, they should have been able to hear God. Now, we should do hear much better. So we are even less justified than they were. So, in the trial in the wilderness, where your father tested me and tried me and so my works 40 years. So God was patient even then. Okay. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said to them, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. You see, we need, the way we go astray, the way we got messed up is because of our heart that make us go the wrong direction. See, how does that happen? Our heart pass judgment on things. And our judgment are not his judgment. So our conclusions are not his conclusion. Our actions are not the action that he wants us to take. We want to feel good when instead we should do something else. We should deal with the reality of the situation. Okay. We had to recognize, let me read the last part of the verse I read, and they have not known my ways. You see, the word known there is ginosko, which actually means to know by experience, by learn by experience, if you want to know. So by experience, they haven't learned the way I work. That's what God is saying. They should have learned by seeing what was going on. They're seeing the way things were happening, and they weren't learning what they had to learn. So they keep going the wrong way and making the wrong decision and having the wrong heart. See, they had to come to the place in which they see my heart, my thinking, my judgment is wrong. I had to change my heart, even if I think that is right, because that's what I want and that's what I like. Are you still with me? Okay, so see, we had to learn to know his way from the experiences we have. That's what's telling us. If we don't have the experiences we want, don't keep doing the same thing you have been doing and having the same position that we have been having. Now, it's not so much, you know, for us about doing things. For us, it's the position that is in our heart that we realize, because now we know much better. Then we had to just follow the law. Now we had to follow the Holy Spirit speaking to us, the Word speaking to us and being revealed by the Holy Spirit. That means we had to be open. We had to have ear to ears and eyes to see to be able to get the direction. Otherwise, we're not going to get the direction and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Or maybe you think you're knowing what I'm doing, but it doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, God's saying, you know, your experience tells you that you don't know what you have to do. Instead of blaming God or blaming other people, we had to deal with ourselves and say, God, where are we messing it up? What do I have to change? A change is required. Don't make up circumstantial theology and fit the theology to your ideas, because that's going to take you that apart, the same things as the children of Israel. Learn from the way God works in the world, that actually shows the laws that he has established, and they're not going to change to please you. You have to please God. You want to get result? Change yourself. If you don't get what you want, well, start looking at what are you asking, number one. If you're asking something according to the word of God, like healing, like being forgiven, having blessings from God, you know that you have to act according to his way. And here, more than the action, is the position that you have, because just the position that you have is going to determine the action you're going to have. You have to look at the judgment you make, because those judgments, if they don't work, they need to be changed. That's very difficult for most believers to do, because they go according to theology instead of according to what see, what as the response that they have. They go by the external instead of going really God go getting deep inside their heart and see what's going on there. You can fool your pastors, you can fool your friend, you can fool yourself, but you cannot fool God. And God is faithful. And his faithfulness determines the judgment that he has about your judgments. You know, and on the bottom line, you know, you cannot change somebody else's judgment. You can try to explain. You can try to convince, but it's a decision that they had to make to believe what God is saying, because they cannot in any other way receive the blessings. Now, it's a bit more complicated than that, but not too much. But I want to continue here. Says there, so I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren. And now it goes on in talking about the Old Testament to the New Testament. Beware, brethren, lest there is any of you of an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. You see, is unbelief the problem of all our problems? Or the source of all our problems? Unbelief. So I believe. Yeah, I know, but you know, what do you believe? We all believe something. Is our belief lining up with the Word of God? Or are we trying to fit the Word of God says to what we believe? And this is the problem with most of the people. We had to justify their belief, and they take the scripture to just the one that fit without considering the one that actually should be considered to show, you know, wait a minute, you know, there is something wrong here. And sometimes a little thing, you know, that God is trying to get through blocks your ability to listen. Now, where am I? So, beware of evil heart of unbelief, but exhort one another daily. I mean, this is talking to us. He's talking to us, so we have to encourage, and we have to, you know, talk to us about what? You know, while it is called today, lest anyone be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Really, the basis of sin is unbelief. You believe something different from God, so you're going to be that sin in itself. That's where sin is. Okay, that's what produces sin. So, and that what produces that is hardening of the heart. You know, it's the same thing when you don't do. You keep doing something that hits you, for example, on your foot. You know, and you keep hitting all over and up, over and again. You get the callous day. After a while, you know, at the beginning may hurt a bit. You know, may even be all irritated and, you know, and you had to, you know, have a problem with that. But after a while, you make a callus there, you can keep doing and doesn't do anything to you. This is what happens spiritually. We develop calloused heart or hardened heart, and we don't hear anymore, and we don't understand why, you know, things are not going according to the way we think, because, you know, we're thinking all right. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is what the Word says. It's not me telling you that. Okay. So it says, harden the heart. For we have become partakers of Christ. If we, and that's the position that we had to have, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You know, but the confidence that we have, you know, is not just, well, you know, I'm all right. No, we had to be that relationship that we have, trusting him, listening to him, be able to his word that makes a difference. At the beginning, that's the way it started. It started when you were not saved and you realized, I'm a messed up person. I need to be changing everything. I need to depend on him. I've been doing things on my own. And you had to establish something completely new. You had to renounce to all your ideas, to take his idea. Well, that doesn't change even after 20 years you have been a believer. You cannot have your ideas and get anywhere with God. And say, well, I trust in Jesus. Well, trust in Jesus means that, you know, you listen to what the Word God says to you. Now, here he's talking about with believers, not with people in the Old Testament. Okay? Now, so it says, yeah, holding fast of the confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. So today, see, that's the thing. We see that things don't work. We have to listen. Not just there and trying to claim stuff, you know, according to our own ideas, because evidently if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And you're not going to force God to do what you want. But you have to go before him, opening up, and allowing him to show you the truth. Okay? That means you have to be ready to give up every of your ideas, because otherwise it's not going to work. Okay? So, who having heard, hardened your hearts in the rebellion, for who, having heard, rebelled, indeed, it was not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses. So you see, these people came out, they were all come, you know, just got some freedom, they follow Moses, you know, they trust him, you know, even they trust Moses, well, only to a degree. They were complaining about Moses all the time, so evidently in their heart, really believe only up to a certain point. One day they believe, next day they didn't believe. One day, you know, something happened and they got corrected because they had to. They realize, I better change here. And the other time, back again in the rotten thinking that they had before. See, our thinking makes all the difference. Our beliefs is what everything really counts. That's how we get or not get the things that God promised. And our thinking is man thinking, things that we generally learn by experience in the world, which is, doesn't line up with the spiritual truth and the consequences in the Word of God. Okay. And having there they rebelled indeed, it was not they that came out of Egypt with Moses. Okay. Now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was not with those who sinned, whose corpse are in the wilderness. You see, the thing is, unbelief is sin. When God holds, okay, no, God doesn't need to hold anything. Sorry. When you are not operating according to God's principles, God cannot be faithful to give you it's not even God. God has not made in such a way that you can get the things that he has promised. Because the promise depending on your position. You know, if you say you have to be here to get rain on your head, and you go somewhere else, you're not going to get any rain on your head. If you want rain for growing some crop, you're not going to get any. If you want to be in a place, as if you want to be healed, you have to do certain things this way. You shouldn't have any resentment or bitterness inside you, for example. And somebody that did something bad to you, you are really holding resentment. Well, quite likely you are not going to get anything until you repent of that and you change the way you think. Unless God thinks that you are too dumb spiritually to be able to expect that from you. Because, you know, I mean, a baby Christian sometimes gets stuff, you know, from God that he doesn't know any better. And God knows exactly every thought that he has in his mind, so he can judge according to what his heart is. He can, you know, something that you have been a Christian for 50 years and you heard, you know, a million times the scripture that says, you know, when you have resentment in your heart or you have bitterness, you cannot, God will not answer your prayer, you know, and you're there and have not a clue. Just born again. Somebody steps on you and yet you get resentful. You may get the miracle anyway because God knows you don't know any better. I mean, he doesn't expect, you know, a baby to be able to, you know, keep his finances properly. Well, it's the same thing. Are you following me? Okay. See, God is just, God knows everything. This is the thing we can grasp, put our mind around. God knows everything. He knows you better than you know yourself, that you will ever know yourself. Okay? So let me continue here. And to whom it is swear that he will not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey. See, the obedience of the voice, obedience of what they know they should do. But we have to learn to listen so that we can obey what he's saying to us, and he's going to correct us on the things that we have to do. Okay? God speaks to us all the time. And we have to hold on to the things that God told us to do without being wavering back and forth. Okay? So they said, verse 19, so that they see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. See, the source of everything is unbelief. But they could not enter in because of unbelief. Okay. That's verse 19, Hebrew 3:19. We have to understand that. Okay. And when we are believing the right thing, concerning the situation, concerning listening to what God is saying and acting on it, one of the results is going to be, is there going to be rest in us? We are not going to be worried, concerned about whatever happens, and there is going to be peace in our heart. And as a result of that peace in our heart is an indication that there is faith in our heart. It's not something that we can build up. Faith is something that comes out of knowing that we are doing everything that God told us to do, and we are listening to him, and we are ready to change anything that he says on the spot. And that brings the stability and the faith to be able to get anything that he promised. Now, it's not easy to do that because you have to really give up to yourself. Die to self. And Jesus talked about die to self all the time. Okay, die to self means die to the things you want, the things you judge, the things you are motivated to do, and be able to change that on the spot. Or at least God is patient. And we can rejoice about that because he's not acting anyway. You know, it's the enemy that acts on that. And God stopped them not to let them do more than what they can do, but what is really dependent on you. Okay. So, you know, if he knows the things you don't see and the things that you don't want to see. See, that's a big step there that we have to understand. God knows the difference between the things that you don't see because of ignorance, and the things that you don't want to see because you don't want it, even if you know that he's asking you. See, the problem with God, you can't fool him. Okay? So he's not just smarter, but he knows everything. And so when we come to the realization that God is omniscient, God knows everything. And so we better start lining up with that idea and to open up to deal with that and learn from what they said before. They didn't know the way of God. The way of God is nothing else to see the way he works, the things the way they work in the natural. How God's supernatural power works when we go before him and we are completely with praying open with, when are we going to find him? When we open ourselves with all our heart, not with a bit of it, not with 50% of it, but with all of it. Okay? That's what produces result. Because that means, you know, to seek him with all our heart means that we are ready to do anything that he says, no matter what. And we have to be careful in that case not to get religious and try to do things that. So there is an experience there is important. Okay? Maybe there has to be wisdom in that. Okay? So, but when we are listening, we are going to be having rest in our heart. And we are going to have faith. That means we are not panicky anymore about stuff. We are not complaining anymore about things that are not happening. We are not, you know, there concerned about things. We know that God is with us, and actually we see it manifested in the actual way without any effort. We get stuff that actually, you know, we know that is not us but is him. Now, when we are completely, fully the way Jesus was, then that's going to be the normal condition that we are all the time. To the degree that there is a difference between what we experience and what Jesus experienced shows the degree of how much we are in Christ and we are not. Why? Because no one knows where we are in the progression of submission, of openness, of listening, of obedience, of taking a position that lines up with his word. He is fair. He is just. See, that's what it means, he's just. He cannot be just if he doesn't know everything about us. And if you read the psalm, you know, it says he doesn't even deal with us according to our transgression, Psalm 103. Okay. I mean, he is much more graceful and much more patient with us than we deserve. So, you know, we had to realize that that's the situation. And because we realize that the situation, we, you know, our attitude is that of great, thank you, Lord, that, you know, but I don't want to take advantage of that because, you know, I don't know how far I'm going myself. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. See, when we start from that position, that lines up with everything that Jesus said. This is dying to self and, you know, submitting yourself to him and allowing him to dictate what your position should be, and then your actions are automatic. It's not, you don't even worry. There are only two commandments in the New Testament. Loving God, loving your neighbor. When you do those two things, everything is fixed. Why? Because the voice of God inside you is going to guide you and show you exactly what to do. In general, there is nothing else there anyway. You can mess up. So, now, this is, you know, Hebrew. Okay. Hebrew is talking in terms of the Old Testament. Okay. To show in a physical way, in a practical way, you know, how spiritual things work, and really the principles are the same. God doesn't change. He just is more patient now, and he's holding on. Okay? So, you know, by the New Testament, we have a version of this that reflect the way, you know, we should take it for ourselves, you know, that have applied more in detail on our spiritual walk. Then it's given in Romans chapter 8, verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So you see, what are we yielding to makes the difference. What are you motivated by makes all the difference. Okay, the desire of the flesh, looking at the physical, is not going to help us because that's not going to be producing the things in us that we want. Okay, but it says, for if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if we will, by the Spirit, you put to death the deed of the body, you will live. See, die and live is nothing to do with the physical life and death. This is talking about spiritual sense. It's talking about the spiritual way. You know, when you're talking about actual death, generally it's talking about sleeping. Okay, so he's not talking about physical death. He's not talking about question of life. He's talking about if you want to keep your life alive in God, you have to cannot walk according to the flesh. You cannot let the flesh, you know, guide you and motivate you. Okay? Now, that is an important point to make, too, on the side. Okay? If this is the case, if you walk according to the flesh, you will die. That means before you were alive. Hello? That means people that are born again can walk according to the flesh, and when they walk according to the flesh, they're going to die spiritually. So much for once saved, always saved. I mean, that's pretty clear, wouldn't you say? Now, continue here. You know, but, you know, if you put to death, you see, it's something you had to do. You put to death. I mean, you crucify the flesh. You crucify the deed of the body. I mean, that's exactly what it's saying, you know. You crucify the works of the flesh. That's what the deed of the body are, the works of the flesh. Okay? So this is a clear decision. You do that. You put to death. All right? That you had to make. So go on, you will live if you do that. Okay? But for as many as they are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you see, the sons of God are the ones that are led by the Spirit of God. They are not just the children of God. They are the sons of God. Okay? They are led by the Spirit. That means, you know, they are connected with the Spirit. They listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling them. They change it with their action, their behavior. And so the Lord guide them into the thing. You know, the Lord is not going to ask you to do more than you can do. He's not going to take a baby Christian and expect them to do something that they expect from somebody that's been walking in with him for 50 years. Then the one that's a baby Christian that is, you know, very little is required of him. Ask God for something and get it. And the one of 50 years, you know, get something much smaller and they don't get it and they get jealous. So the fact that being 50 years, they are not they're listening to the flesh yet because jealousy is a fruit of the flesh. Or they get confused because, you know, they get confused because, well, why God give it to him and not to me? Look at the guy, you know, he still smokes. Are you following what I'm saying? This is practical stuff, but that's the thing, you know, that when we understand this principle, then we can start lining up with ourselves and not have expectations that are out of place. They are really unscriptural. Well, I'm claiming the scripture, I'm not moving from what I stand. Well, maybe you have to move because you're in the wrong place. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we have to be flexible because God doesn't change. God doesn't move. If there is something to be moved, it's ourselves. Okay? Praise the Lord. For as many as spread the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you see, being led by the Spirit, that means having crucified the flesh, makes us son of God, not children of God. Accepting Jesus and knowing nothing makes us children of God, because we are not really guided by the Spirit, but God is patient with us and deals with us according to our level, according to how old we are in Him. But the thing is, you know, the clock is ticking. You cannot be a baby for 25 years and expect God to be patient with you yet. He expects us to grow naturally, the way we expect the natural growth of the physical body happens. So He knows what should happen, and He can judge accordingly. Praise the Lord. Now, I think I'm afraid I had to close here, but you know, I wanted to go into explaining how we, crucify the works of the flesh. You know, it's not like the people that flagellate themselves and put themselves down and everything else. The word is very clear about the way we do it, and it's actually a pleasant thing if we listen and if we don't get stubborn. Okay? We're going to talk about that next week, because I don't think we can cover that. But we will look practically at the things that we do and understand. When we understand, then we can actually implement it. It's not difficult. Anybody can do it. If you got already born again, and anybody can get born again if they are just a bit open. It's not true that we are, you know, just only sinful. There is always something good in people. But sometimes it's much too little to produce any good. Okay? But the fact is that God wants to make that part grow and the other one shrink. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. And the more we become like Jesus, the more our life, our experience will be the same experiences that Jesus had. So, you know, it's not just a question, oh, I want to be like Jesus, and it's a religious thing. No, no, this is a very practical thing. You can do, you can live, you can have results, you can have a life that is great to live. That doesn't mean always, you know, and there is not going to be problem around. The problem is that until we are in the world, we are problem. But, you know, we are always coming victory, because Jesus came in victory all the time, except one time when He accepted to go through death for us. That was the only time in which He accepted the enemy position, because He knew that that was the only way for us to have that victory too. See, the enemy had no right to do anything he did. But he did it out of ignorance. You see, he doesn't know everything. He actually was writing his own defeat. Okay? He was writing his own defeat. But he didn't know, and he thought, yeah, hallelujah, I'm killing the Son of God. Yes. And now you're going to have millions of them fighting you. Hello. See, God's side is winning. It may not appear that, because He works a different way than the world appears. He doesn't work the way you can see. He works the way that you cannot see if you are blind spiritually. You have to see spiritually, and then you see that God is working mightily in these days. That where there is darkness, you know, grace abounds even more. Amen. So let's close in prayer. Let's pray. Let's pray here. I think it's a good thing to appropriate at least the things that we talked about for now. Okay, that we realize, okay, that He wants us to develop, to grow. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. I know that you are faithful. I know that you know me better than I know myself. That I can trust you. That I can put my trust in you. That you planned for me to have victory, to receive all the promises that you gave me, you put in the word. Don't give up on me, but I know that you know that. Lord, I want to be obedient. Okay, I want to look at you and not at the senses, not at the circumstances, but I want to decide to set my mind on your goals, your desires, your things that you want me to do. And I'm going to, Lord, go to your word. And Lord, allow the word to open my ears, to quicken me with the same spirit that quickened Jesus, that raised him from the dead, Lord, to give him victory so that I may have victory as well. And I thank you because I know that this is the plan you have for me. And Lord, I want to follow your ways. I want to know your ways. Teach me. Help me, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.